Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Good evening, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. This is Chris Gilpin.
Martin Bruda.
And Dan Collins.
That was almost rehearsed.
Almost. I do it every night in front of the mirror to practice my name.
Right before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Hey.
Dan Collins here. So.
So.
It's a nice, nice blustery night here in town.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad at all.
Yet.
We've had worse in the last couple weeks.
Welcome to Canada, right?
Yep.
All right, that's our show.
Yep.
See you next time.
Yeah, later. See you later. See you in bad time. See you in bad channel.
So what are we going to talk about today?
How about comic books?
Comics are good.
Yeah.
We should talk about comic books.
Can I start today's show with a complaint?
Okay, go ahead.
I bought some comics on eBay last Saturday, and they arrived yesterday. And so I bought 3 comics. They were $2 each. I paid $8 for shipping. So $8 is not a whole lot of shipping, but it's not a little bit of shipping. It's a decent amount for regular comic books, right? They came yesterday in just a regular bubble envelope with nothing except the comics inside.
Nice.
No protection.
Was that Raven Gregory that sent you those comics?
It was not. Because they were in bags and boards.
Was that the Charlton movie that sent promo stuff for their failed Indiegogo that sent that? Because they did the same thing.
Yeah.
I literally got a copy of their comic book, The Charlton Arrow, just mangled. I mean, destroyed. You wouldn't have even treated a comic book this badly when you were 10. I mean, it was that bad. It was just destroyed.
Yeah.
Luckily, everything in it looked okay. It didn't look like it got destroyed in transit, but it's still pretty annoying, especially if you're buying comics off of somebody who's selling lots of comics. Therefore, they know that comics shouldn't be shipped just in an envelope.
Even if you just put one piece of cardboard in there, but you should
put something.
Two. Always put two.
Like when I ship one comic out to somebody, I usually charge like $4 for shipping and use an envelope. A bubble envelope with 2 pieces of cardboard, the comic in the middle, and they've all arrived safely.
Yep.
That's okay. With the exchange rate right now, there's no sense in buying comic books online anyways.
Well, sell!
It was from a Canadian
always
Canadian
be
seller.
Selling. Yeah.
So that's my rant for the day, and it wasn't even much of a rant, was it?
Yeah, it was all right.
No. It was all right?
It's okay.
I'll practice rants in front of the mirror tonight instead of my name. Because I guess I got my name down.
There you go. Speaking of the Rantmeister, do you know where Sam is right now?
Where is Sam right now?
Sam
in
is,
bed?
Sam is watching hockey games.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. He's got some kind of family member in the Pee Wee Adam, Sparky.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, Cub Scout. What are the different ranks in hockey? But whatever tournament's out there right now.
You're talking to the wrong guys here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure Sam is enjoying some family time, perhaps, but not necessarily hockey.
I have no idea. That's the first time I've ever seen him express any kind of an interest in sports whatsoever.
And, of course, he needs to get to bed soon. Because he's got an early wake-up call.
Sorry, we find that a little humorous. Yeah, tomorrow, a bunch of us are selling at a toy show in Burlington. Some toys that we're going to be selling.
Comics.
There. Well, yeah, we'll have a few comics there, but it's mainly a toy show, but... There's going to be like Star Wars and Transformers,
G.I.
Joe, a real American hero. some Migos, shit like that. So yeah, it's an early wake up call tomorrow for the frat bus down to Burlington, and we're putting I know bets on whether Sam's going to make it or not, because he's not an early riser.
A night hawk. And likes his beauty sleep.
But yeah, he's a culturalist, so he likes the
nightlife.
The nightlife and the shows, yeah, and the hanging out, and so yeah, he's not exactly a morning person.
No.
Not that I am a morning person. I'm great once I've had my first cup of personality in the morning.
I'm up at 4 AM, 5 AM every morning anyway.
What are you talking about? You don't sleep.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's going on.
You post on Facebook so many weird hours. The only person who posts weirder hours than you is my 11-year-old daughter, who is also an insomniac.
Well, I wake up at 2 and I see a message from Martin, and it's like, okay, I'm going to reply, and I really hope that he has his notifications turned up really loud. Bing! What the?
Oh, well. So, comics.
Yeah.
This just reminded me of a topic that I wanted to discuss. We can discuss it later, but your discussion about the $8 for shipping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys include that in the price of the comic that you're buying? So if you're buying a comic for $5 and you pay $10 for shipping, did you pay $15? Right,
oh yeah, absolutely.
It's a $15 comic.
Yeah, because I haven't done this religiously, but with my little database program that I've got where I'm storing everything, I put the finalized, finished, including any PayPal charges and all that stuff. That value goes in there. That's what I paid.
So we've done multiple road trips.
Yep.
Do you figure out the cost of gas to get to those stores?
A little bit, yeah, sometimes.
Ooh-wee. OCD.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, right. Yeah. You got to add at least $50. I mean, it's $50 to get to Gotham City, yeah, Collectibles and back. Yeah. Gotham Central, sorry.
Gotham Central. Okay. I was just curious.
Speaking of,
yeah,
Gotham Central, they, yeah, have a birthday party coming up.
Yeah.
January 30th, I think it is.
Two weeks from tonight.
Down there in Mississauga. Have you seen the guest list?
I've seen a partial guest list.
Our man Richard Cumley will be there.
Yes,
he's going to be there, and he's going to promptly forget who we are.
But he'll pretend.
But he'll pretend because he's a nice, nice guy.
He's an awesome guy.
He's never met me, but should I pretend like we have met before?
Oh yeah, so
just be like, hey, it's Dan from Omimi. Like, and he's like, oh, how's it going, Dan? Yeah, nice to see you again. There, yeah,
you Andrew Thomas.
Yep, Andrew Thomas,
our illustrious illustrator of Ulrich will be, yep, there. So. Yep. Somebody not mentioning any names is picking up some art from him.
Yeah.
On that.
Not mentioning any names. Not mentioning any figures.
Yeah. No figures. No. It's not a Captain Canuck variant cover original pencils. But that, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, is my wife listening to this?
She has been.
I may be in trouble.
It was free, honey.
Yes.
It was free.
You know how you have got like Year of the Monkey, Year of the Tiger and stuff? This is called Year of Austerity for Martin.
And so he starts it off by buying a Captain Canuck cover.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, sell. Did the list say that the guys from Spent Pencils are going to be there as well? They're artists?
Allow me to Google.
I'm just wondering if Oliver's going to be there. That'll cost me a bit of money, I think. I'm wondering if he's going to be there tomorrow. I don't know if there's going to be artists there or not tomorrow at the Burlington show.
I'm not sure about the Burlington show, but I know the Quinty show they were talking about having an artist alley.
Because they're doing cosplay too tomorrow or something, right?
Contests. They always do cosplay. Yeah,
so.
But that's fun.
Yes.
I really want to go in Silverman.
Yeah, that's me.
I have to borrow Sam's costume.
I was going
to
say, I think Sam has at least a partial costume for you.
Well, so. I finally watched Big Hero 6, so now I know who that girl is that he likes.
Honey Lemon.
Now I know.
I haven't seen that yet.
Did you not think... Oh, we won't even talk to you then. Did you not think like Big Hero 6 was an awesome movie, though?
Oh, it was great.
Wasn't it fantastic? Yeah. I mean, it's not Incredibles.
No.
But it was pretty good.
It was funny. Yeah.
And it drove up the price of one Alpha Flight comic book.
Yeah. Which is actually kind of funny because that's Alpha Flight Volume 2 that mm-hmm. title came out on. I saw people flogging... What is it? Issue 17, I think? Volume 1 for just ridiculous prices. Because they were trying to, I don't know, confuse, or they were confused, or what. But they were really, I mean, $50 for Alpha Flight Volume 1, number 17.
Now, remind me what the connection is between that Big Hero 6 and the other Big Hero 6.
Well, that's the team, that Big is, Hero 6. Yeah.
So,
in Alpha Flight is that's...
Yeah, I can't remember recall if it's the exact same characters or not.
I think Sunfire's on the team, is he not?
Yeah, because it was not an American thing. I can't remember whether it was published in Japan or part of the anime group or something like this, but it had far more adventures outside of North America than it did here in North America.
Like, did they actually have Honey Lemon on the team? I don't know.
I don't know because it's so expensive. That's the one that's missing right now.
We're not letting Martin get to the Google.
Oh man,
I
forgot my reading glasses too. So this is difficult. Gotham Central City and Collectibles. I'm going to narrate my Googling just for you.
Well, instead of you narrating your Googling, why don't I tell you what I'm going to pick up from Andrew at the show?
Yes, do that because you were like being all mysterious.
Was I being all mysterious?
Yes.
It was unintentional.
There you go.
But. We'll talk about Auric later, but Andrew is the artist on Auric, and so I have a blank Captain Canuck cover, and he's going to draw a Auric as Captain Canuck for me.
That'll work.
So I'm pretty excited to see what that looks like.
So Jim Zub will be there.
Who's that?
He's a Facebook friend of mine.
Okay.
You know how you have Facebook friends that are not really, like, you've never even met them, but they're... They said yes when you said, hey.
When you accidentally clicked the friend button.
Or you suddenly get like a friend request from some strange place because you know somebody that they know. So Jim's, is it Facebook or Twitter? Oh, I don't know. Anyways, he's a creator, comic book creator. He was part of that, remember when Rachel Ritchie and the guys at that one comic convention kind of got the shaft with their table being taken over by... What is the name of the guy that does the Marvel zombie stuff?
Yeah. Surian.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he just comes into a show and he'll have a table and he'll like take four and they kind of got displaced and stuff. Jim was one of the guys that kind of stepped up and said on Twitter that was nonsense. And so Andrew will be there. R.B. White. Anybody know who R.B. White is? I feel like if R.B. White tunes in, he's going to be like, you damns. Michael Espinola, Dan Hammond, Hugh Rockwood, Stephen Lean. It says your Ty Templeton will be coming. Everybody knows who Ty Templeton is, right?
Yep.
There you go. So, I mean, there's it's Mississauga, so, Jim Lee's not coming, but...
Oh, Jim Lee's not coming.
But quite a few of the fun Canadian guys are coming.
Yeah.
So it should be good. Oh, good. Hugh Rockford, Spent Pencils.
Okay.
Jim Zub does Samurai Jack, Skull Kickers, and Wayland. Adam Gorham, I know Adam. IDW Publishing, Boom, he's done a bunch of stuff. R.B. White does heavy metal interiors, whatever that means.
Maybe inside pages to the magazine Heavy Metal.
As opposed to the covers.
Do you have to be like extra special to get covers? Is that like a graduation? Like a bigger rank?
Yes. You're on the A team.
You're an officer as opposed to a non-commissioned officer? There you go.
That's right.
So yeah, I think we're going to head down to that. That's just a one day quickie trip. So. Zoom down real quick.
And then zoom back for the show that night.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there's a show.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So. If we don't make it back, you guys just tune in on the radio and talk amongst yourselves, okay?
We'll make it back.
Anyways, anybody got comic stuff to want to talk about?
Well, how about we put Chris on the spot for a minute? Because last week we all got to do our top five
things
from the past year. And Chris wasn't here, so we didn't get to go through his list. But he told me that he's prepared such a list.
Chris also has a lesson as to why you should not use a 3-year-old copy of Overstreet to price your stuff at an antiques mall.
All right. Okay, so no particular order except for number one. Road trips and this radio show.
Yay.
Like, laughs and just new friends, and it's just been awesome. Dinner with Marty, Sam, and Dan Parent at Mother's Pizza in Hamilton.
That was actually a little bit cozier than it needed to be. That booth was a bit small. I mean, we are not small people. We are not small men, and that booth was a bit tight.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Yeah, it was good.
The Pickering Warehouse.
Oh,
we've had so much fun going through those comics.
I actually walked out of there the last time I was there, and my fingers were like all raw from flipping pages and It just, it hurt. I was like, oh, can I, like, lubrication of some kind? Hand cream, my empire for some hand cream.
Did you see that he was open today?
Yeah, I saw that Saturday. He had posted, 10-6, 10-2. Due to overwhelming demand, he finally decided to open on a Saturday.
But does he have anything new, or has it been picked through already, kind of?
Well, he said 417 long boxes.
Yeah, but that's what he had before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's just, my impression is that he's just letting the dollar stuff dwindle down, and he's getting in better stuff up front.
Yeah,
in the office. That's kind of the impression that I've been getting.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm sure if he finds a collection at a decent price, he'll add to it. But, and I don't know how I managed to do this, but like a year ago, I realized I had so many comics, but not a lot of keys, and no graded books whatsoever. So one of the goals last year was to change the collection around a bit. So now I've got maybe 10 graded books and a bunch of key issues, and it's good. It's all good. And number one is Arthur Adams.
Dun, dun, dun.
One of the guys that runs the fan site does an actual list of every single thing, whether it's one little picture or cover or interior, he's got a whole list. So last year, hundreds of books just with Arthur Adams related. Got a couple signed prints from him. Sent two books down to the States to get signed and graded. So it was a good year for Arthur Adams.
It's a good artist to be a fanatic about. He's awesome. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and I still do not have Shield number 9.
Shield number 9.
The bane of his existence.
Someday.
So if our listeners out there have a copy of Shield number 9.
I doubt it.
Feel free to send us an email at the website. And,
like, it's a variant or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a really super limited variant of issue number 9 of a series that not a lot of people got. So very few stores qualified. And now, I do have a question about this, okay? Yeah. You got these limited variants. Do they print them based on the overall print run? And then if it's a 1 in 100, they'll print one copy for every 100 they print. And then the store is eligible for, depending on how much they order, they hand them out. So they've got a big box somewhere of Shield number 9s that people weren't qualified for.
Oh, I would think so.
Because there's no way they can kind of figure out how many to print ahead of time. Or do they just guess and figure, you know, X number of stores will get this, so let's print 12 copies? Or, like, how does that
all
work?
They must have some knowledge of how the book is selling and how many they're actually going to use.
There's got to be some kind of a metric. Like, somebody's got to be coming up with this number.
It's a very popular topic on the CGC forums, where they're constantly, like, this is probably the number one argument they have is numbers and variants and what qualifies and this and that. And one example I would give is Amazing Spider-Man number 4, the first appearance of Silk. There's, like, the regular version. That's fine. And then there's another variant from, like, Humberto Ramos or that guy.
Yeah.
And so that one's supposed to be a limited, fairly popular one. It's expensive. And then they were finding that variant inside prepackaged packs at the dollar store in the States.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like,
nice. So like, literally, Marvel must have printed them up, given out the allotments to the stores, had boxes, and then just sold them off or whatever to the dollar store. They packaged them up and sold them out.
Or did, like, a very big vendor like Midtown or something like that had tons and tons of copies hand them out? Was it Marvel? Was it Diamond? Or was it like a big vendor?
Yeah, it could be Diamond. But, like, because would a vendor like Midtown sell their comic books to a dollar store?
Well, like, if they have thousands of copies of this book and they want to keep the price up, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just curious, like Han Solo number 2, Star Wars number 2, Han Solo action figure variant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very few stores qualified for it because there was some changes to the way that, you know, a comic retailer will tell you how that all worked. So it's hard to get. So it's a $125 book right now.
Just for a plain regular raw copy.
Yeah, just a regular copy variant, $125. Roughly give or take exchange and all that.
I was gonna say Canadian.
It's not $5, right? It's more than that.
Yeah.
Which is most of the other ones are just $5 for the.
Yeah, exactly. And is it got a smaller print run than number 3?
It must have.
Does it have a print? Well, does it or doesn't it? Or is there a big box, like you said, somewhere that someone's gonna blow out at a dollar store? You know? Because they must have X number printed, ready to go.
Yeah.
Or do they print that last to order based on what orders they get, because they get orders 3 months in advance, right?
Are they ever going to print like less than 1,000 copies of a comic book, or less than, is Marvel going to print less than 2,000 copies?
Probably not. I mean, so if you think about like, that's going to be the base, if you think of the economies of scale, I can't imagine they'd be willing to print less than 2,000 of a particular cover.
No.
Like they're not, it's not like they're going to have like 400 copies because that's how many stores they think are going to be able to qualify.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that just doesn't make sense to print such a small number.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for them, it's, you know, I'm sure that the printing cost itself for a comic book is a small percentage of the actual creation of it. I'm sure they pay the artists and the writers more than they pay for printing costs.
Oh, I would think so.
So it could be just a promotional item on their balance sheet. You know, we're going to print 10,000 copies of this, and if we give out 100, that's great. And if we destroy the rest, a big deal. It's like a business card.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
They also have, the stores also have to have their orders in, 2 months, 3 months in advance? Yeah. So maybe that's how
they could theoretically, if they wanted to, probably figure out how many they
need. Yeah, they could know exactly how many they need, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could also be, hey, this is on initial orders only. This doesn't count towards reordering and stuff like this. So if you don't have X number of issues in your order form on the beginning, that's how much we're printing. And if you order some more later, too bad.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, because they also have the final order cutoff, right?
Yeah.
But that final order cutoff, see, again, not to get into the debate we were getting into before, there's a huge difference between a comic book retailer ordering from Diamond and what Marvel does.
Yes.
Marvel prints stuff, ships it off to Diamond. Diamond is the one that then does that kind of stuff. So that final order cutoff might have nothing to do with Marvel Comics. That might be a Diamond dictated thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marvel's already done its thing and have already moved on to the next one by the time that date comes.
Right.
And that is variant covers solved. Unsolved mysteries. We've solved it.
I don't know if it's solved. We've got more questions. But anyways. So is that your top five? That was your five right there?
Yes.
Well, then what is this pile of comics that you're teasing us with here on the counter?
That's just what I read, what I bought.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Because I can't remember because my memory's not very...
All right, good. Let's do that. What did you read and what did you buy?
Well, what I've read recently...
Oh, just pull it out. We're talking about.
I'm not getting to that. I'll wait
till
that.
I hope that Secret Wars number 9 isn't in your pile.
Secret Wars number 9 is in my pile.
Oh.
The variant.
I haven't even read it yet.
I won't. I'm just glad it's over. Let me just put it that way. I just...
Okay, but here's my next trick question, right? How many of these event books were you not feeling exactly the same way before the last issue hit?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, thank goodness it's over.
Convergence was just killing me.
You know?
You know, I just like most of us, you know, we're all like, I'm Johnny DC. I love DC. But Convergence was just like, my wife was screaming at me every week, just drop it. You hate it, drop it. I'm like, nope, I got to get the whole thing, even though I didn't enjoy
Secret Wars was painful.
I've only read up to issue 4.
You know? Even Civil War back a few years ago, that was painful. I mean, the main kind of book always seems to be late, and they always have, the rest of the titles have already moved on, and, you know, we already know that something happens to Mr. Fantastic in this book. And so it's like going to see Star Wars and having everything revealed in the action figures ahead of time, right? It just ruins it.
Yeah. And I won't say what happens to Reed and a bunch of other related to Reed characters, but it still just doesn't... It's almost like, hey guys, we need to get a reason to get rid of these characters. What are we going to do? Well, let's do something called Secret Wars.
Let's figure out some way that we can put these guys on a shelf and ignore them for a little while, but yet pull them back down when we get the movie rights back. I mean, pull them back down when it's time to republish these stories.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Walking Dead 150.
Oh.
So,
I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I haven't... Okay. I was going to say, I haven't read that one, but, you know, I'm currently on, like, issue 12, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Well, I read the Walking Dead through the trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that you kind of learn to live with the spoilers, because you're always 6 months behind everything, so.
Now, without saying any spoilers.
But that's not the nice cover that you brought in.
No, we're not going to talk about that
one. No, we're not?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have heard that something happens in this one. Is it a memorable issue?
Not as memorable as 100 was.
No, 100 was, that's the only actual Walking Dead comic book I've read.
What happened to number 100?
That was where
Glenn met Lucille.
Oh, yes, okay.
I don't remember anything really big happening.
No.
And I was expecting it, and there's another war coming, basically. And that's all they're setting up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all it really was, really. Like, you've got half the main guys saying no and half saying yes, and this was just more about them fighting over it, literally and figuratively. So there wasn't, I don't know.
So it's just kind of another issue that happened to be 150.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few variants. There's only one I really want is the Tony Moore.
Right.
That's a pretty cool looking variant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the takeoff on issue one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't know if I can find it. I don't know how much it's going for.
I haven't seen it.
I don't think it's going for ridiculous amounts. No. Not like there's a version of the regular cover that's going like it's a 1 in 250 or something that's going for a ridiculous amount of money, maybe 1 in 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Going for like $200 American or something. And it just looks like the regular cover, except I think it's a sketch.
Yeah.
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 That seems silly to me.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I mean, I've come to the conclusion that variant covers, if the cover is something that I really, really like, I'll pick it up. I don't need to have every single variant cover anymore. I've kind of moved past that.
Yeah.
So same thing with like the Star Wars action figure variants. I really like them because I used to play with the toys. But then they came out with whatever issue it was, Vader Down or something. And the one was looked like the back of the card.
It was a checklist.
Yeah, well. Yeah. I mean, it was horrible. It was ugly, and it didn't even look like the back of the action figure cards back in the day.
Yeah.
And I just looked at it and went, you know,
you're the like, completest, I'm done here.
Yeah, the completest in me is like, you must have them all. And now I'm like, no, you know, it's ugly. And then they had, was it Midtown? Had a, it looked like a mailer box.
Yeah.
So it literally looked like somebody, Christopher there, was it John Christopher? Christopher John, whoever.
Tyler, yeah, something.
Yes. The artist of it drew a box and four action figures in the box to make it look like a mailer. And again, you know, I mean, his art's great and his renditions of the action figures is fantastic, but it just didn't sing to me. So I was like,
so yeah, I'll buy those two. And then when you're really jonesing for them, jack the price.
Yeah,
up.
Exactly.
When you decide that you've got to complete the set.
Yeah. When I lose my senses, I'll be like, I must have them
when
all.
When the year of austerity is over.
Yeah. Well, I got the checklist one. I didn't get the Midtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one. But, I've just mentioned the Justice League Dark Side War. I've been enjoying that.
Still good?
Yeah. I think it's still good.
Did you read any of the spin-off ones?
No, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
I haven't touched any of the spin-offs yet.
Yeah, I've read them all.
It seems like Justice League 40, where they introduced Grail, Darkseid's daughter, is still doing okay on the internet. It's still going for like $15-$20, which isn't bad for a comic that's 6 months old.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, you know.
Right, right. Mighty Death Punch.
And, yeah, so I did what I said I wasn't going to do, of course, is I bought some more number ones. Uncanny X-Men, and this is actually Extraordinary X-Men, but I've been reading it since number one. This is issue 5. I'm liking Extraordinary a lot more than I wanted to.
It's fun. It's good.
But, yeah, so Uncanny is X-Force.
Yeah, Uncanny's not, you know, Uncanny X-Men. It's like you said, it's X-Force. It's the bad guys. It's the strike team and stuff. But I actually enjoyed the issue.
The issue was okay.
I know it was drawn by Let's Copy a Model, you know, photo reference, photocopied Greg Land. And, you know, all his figures look different. I mean, he's drawing the same character and she looks different in four different panels because he used a different model for photo reference, which drives me nuts. But I actually liked it. I thought it was good.
It was okay. I would have liked to see it called X-Force and then Extraordinary just called Uncanny.
Yeah.
Like, to me, where Extraordinary is going with the team that they have, they are the Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah, and it's a bit more traditional. I mean, you've got the Nightcrawler, you've got
Colossus.
Colossus. I love Colossus. I loved him back in the day, and I love him now. And I want to do vodka shots with him.
Yeah, Storm's leading.
Colossus. Exactly.
She refers to them as my X-Men. I like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good title. I really like it.
The only thing that I kind of hesitate on, it's almost feeling like what was it, Mytopia? Because she's like, come to me, mutants. Come to our special area, and you'll be safe. Well, we've already done that storyline, so that's the only thing that I hesitate on. So, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So a couple of things I bought.
Oh my gosh!
Bought this week. Found a nice copy of Brave and the Bold with Batman and Wonder Woman, number 87.
And that's jumpsuit Wonder Woman, isn't it? Super Spy Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
The all-new Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't remember, back in the 60s, Wonder Woman lost her powers and started wearing a... Avengers, as in TV show Avengers, Emma Peel-style white jumpsuit and solving adventures and stuff. Isn't that cover just amazing?
It is pretty wicked.
Yeah.
Is Batman in a race car? Is that what that
Batman's in a race car being driven off the road into a ditch that Wonder Woman's staked down into, and he's about to kill her by crashing into her with this car.
It's a very vibrant and, like, you know, it really jumps out at you.
Now, how is it that Batman's in a race car without a helmet and his cape flailing around by the engine intakes and just conveniently located exactly where Wonder Woman is in
this
peril?
This is a comic book show about comic books, not a real show about real stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Who did the art on that?
I do not know. I have not read it yet, unfortunately.
It looks like Mike Sadowski or something. Anyways.
And last but not least... last year, Marty and I were talking a lot about these Whitman variants and Whitman comics, and there's certain Whitmans out there that are very rare, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. And again, for clarification, if you guys don't remember, way back in the 70s, Whitman was a company that would prepackage comic books in packages of three or four and sell them at places like Towers and Zellers and Byway and stuff. So for 99 cents, you got a little bag full of comics. So some of these were reprints of DC's. Some of them were reprints of Marvel. I think, if I recall correctly, and I should be shot for not knowing, I think Whitman was actually part of the Western publishing thing that owned Gold Key. That's why there's a lot of Gold Key Whitmans, because I think it was the same company.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'll find a lot of Gold Key comics like Star Trek and stuff and the Disney ones and stuff with Whitman labels instead of Gold Key labels, and they were sold in those packs.
Yeah. So part of the conversation we had was the Black Hole. So the Black Hole comic book series 1 and 2 was the movie.
Yeah.
And number 3, they changed the name to Beyond the Black Hole. Those were you could find them pretty easily, but they also came out in packs.
Yeah, the reason why 3 was found so easily is because it was bundled into that 3-pack. Like, 1 and 2 was the movie, and when it came time to do some reprints, they thought, okay, well, we'll just reprint 1 and 2. Wait a sec, we do 3 comics for a buck. So we got to put issue 3 in there. Yeah. So issue 1, 2, 3, and 4 came out originally. 1, 2, and 3 were reprinted in these baggies quite a bit. 4 was never reprinted as heavily as 3, and it's considered one of the top 40 rarest Whitman comics out there.
Yes.
Very rare.
Very
hard to find.
So
how much do we see on, I think there's 3 on eBay right now, $700 Canadian?
Yeah, $700,
$800. Canadian and $562 Canadian?
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's what people are asking for. Now, if you flip it over to the sold listings, you get 20, 30, 40, you know, it is the oddest pricing thing I have ever seen. So anyways,
well, I think that's because some people don't know what they have.
It could be, you know, that could very
some people
well be.
Just figure it's an old beat up Whitman comic, it's nothing special, and they price it accordingly, or they're using an old price guide, because this is what I was referring to before. There was not a huge collectability of Whitman reprints. It wasn't a thing. There must be a group of people out there that have suddenly decided I want Whitman reprints, because the prices on some of these are going up and up and up and up. Like, what's that Legion of Superheroes that we saw?
Yeah.
That went crazy, whatever issue that was.
Some random issue. I've still got to sit at home. I got to throw it up on eBay and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll see some people, Captain Canuck Reborn number 2 is like this. I've seen people selling it for $2.25 because the online price guide say it's a $2 book. And yet, to a cat who knows how rare this book is, they're willing to pay $100 for this book. Now, once all nine of us have our $100 copies, I'm sure, you know, the rest are worth $2, but I bought three copies for $2.50 each, and it just blew my mind.
Yeah, so I did find number four last week. I won't tell you the price, but it was a very, very, very good price.
Oh, tell them the price.
It was a good price.
Tell them the price. Brag
but,
a little.
No, but it was funny because I was in Orono last year after we had all these conversations and you showed me that website. And I found number three, but I couldn't get my phone to work. And I couldn't remember if it was three or four.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, the old, start the car. So I bought it, went back, you know, finally got my phone to work. It's number four. Number three is common. Anyways. So, I was pretty excited to find this number four.
And so you found it at an antiques mall?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And again, priced... I would say a little aggressively for a Whitman book, but very, very under-aggressively for this particular Whitman book.
But
and so, to like, because I haven't really heard of the Whitman variants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, interesting and cool information.
Yeah, like here somebody sold one for $36 on eBay.
But what other sort of listings are there?
And like I said, the other two listings are, you know, they want more than $500 a piece for them. So I guess maybe, you know, it's just one of those things where if you don't know what it is and you don't know the rarity of it and the price guides are wrong or old, like if you grabbed a 2004 Overstreet price guide, I believe New Mutants 98 in that thing is worth $2.75. You know, so, I mean, that's only 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I sold my big, huge set of comics in 2005, it was a cheap book. It wasn't very expensive. It's only in the last 5 years that it skyrocketed like that as people realize, you know, who the character was and all this sort of stuff. So it's the same thing here. I just think that it's an undervalued book because people didn't realize
that it was how significant rare. It is,
how what the print run numbers are. And, of course, nobody recorded... print run numbers back then, so nobody knows exactly. Like, shoot, there's a debate right now over how many copies of New Mutants 98 are out there, because nobody has the exact numbers.
Oh, somebody has it. Somebody has it. They just don't want to say.
Yeah, but if I don't think so, because if Marvel had the number, Marvel doesn't care. Marvel does not care what the price of New Mutants 98 is today. So why would they hide the number of how many copies they printed? They don't care. Local comic shops care. You know,
yeah,
but I don't think Marvel cares. So if they had the number, I'm sure it would. Oh yeah, here's sales numbers for the past 30 years.
But even if the number was out there, I don't think it would matter, because let's say they printed a million copies, there's a million people that want that book.
There are significantly more people that want New Mutants 98 than want Captain Canuck Reborn number 2. Yes, yeah. No doubt. There's no
about,
doubt
about a million to
no
to,
doubt
to nine.
Yeah, yeah,
but they don't. They don't realize that there are collectors and stores with boxes of these.
But does it matter? Like, if you want the book, it doesn't matter if there's a collector that's got a whole long box full of it. You just want your one.
Well,
I know it matters for the price.
No matter what happens here, like with the New Mutants 98 thing, no matter what occurs, whether somebody finds a big stash and stuff, it's still not
going to
it's still not going to take away from the fact that this is first appearance of a popular character.
Yes.
So even after the bubble bursts and stuff, it's not going to be a $5 book. It's still going to be a $40, $50, $60 book.
And I can wait. Well, it's the only issue. Well, no, I'm missing 87 as well. But
are you really?
I have the second print. I know somebody who has it, but he won't trade it for me.
I have it, but I'm not sure if I have one or two of them. I'll have to check.
Anyways. I wonder if somebody would want to trade this for a new 98 that he bought last year.
For... Nope.
So now, quick, last year not being the year of austerity, of course.
No.
Nope.
No.
Quick question about the issue number 4 of the Black Hole there.
Yeah.
So are all of them Whitman variants?
Yes, actually.
Like, so there is no regular. So if I see the Black Hole number 4, pick it up no matter what.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas you will
note
see,
to self.
Like I have, I like to grab, you know, I try to grab every Whitman I find.
Yeah, because chances are you're going to pay nothing for the comic in the first place, and it could be one of these 40 very popular books. Now, who knows? Maybe somebody's going to fire up a warehouse. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, there's a comic book called Major Inupiaq. Inupiaq was some sort of a manufacturer of something or another. I can't remember. Maps or tire inflation kits or something in the States, and they made this promotional comic book. And it was called Major Inupiaq, and it was just a space science fiction-y comic book, and sure, it was there, and everybody, blah, blah, blah. Somebody found a virtual warehouse of these darn things.
Yeah.
And they are everywhere. And you know, you take a look, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is a really old 1940s, 1950s comic. It's in amazing shape. Must be worth millions. Oh, I'm going to put my kid through college. I can finally burn that copy of Death of Superman. This is going to be great. And then you go look on the price, guy. It's like, you know, that's $5.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you don't pay more than $5 for it, you're okay. You haven't really lost.
Hey, man, you pay more than $5 for a regular comic book nowadays.
Sure do. So since Marty like segued there into we were having a discussion on Facebook kind of about this listing that I saw on some guy who had 200 comics encased in plastic that he wanted.
Encased in plastic.
He wanted $800 for them, and they were all just comics from the 90s, the valueless kind.
Well, you see, that's the other thing that happens. I mean, we were talking about records today. One of my stepson's girlfriend bought some records just to do a kind of like a display at work, mm-hmm. a little Christmassy display, and she hung some records from strings. And she just went to wherever it was, St. Vincent de Paul or Value Village, and just grabbed a stack of records for a buck a piece or whatever they charged her, and she decorated with this. Well, some guy walked by and went, "Is that a Rolling Stones album? That's a $75 album that you got up there." And it's like, well, no, maybe. Is it scratched? Yes. Okay, yeah. So no collector wants it. Is it a first pressing? No. Okay, well, I guess again, nobody wants it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a reason why. Sure, you find gems once in a while like this Beyond the Black Hole. But, you know, your average everyday album, how many albums are out there versus how many are actually collectible? Same thing with comic books. Somebody sees on the news, oh, somebody found an old comic book in the wall and they sold it for $1.2 million. And, oh, my comics are worth a lot. And then you end up, like you said, it's all 90s crap that is not worth anything. But try to convince them of that.
Yeah, literally, you know, just pennies per copy.
Yeah, they grab a copy of Overstreet at the Chapters and they're like, oh, look, it's worth, look on the side of the column here all the way over, it says it's worth $80. I'm like, yeah, you see all those other numbers that are there?
Yep.
Those other numbers are incredibly important to your find there.
Yeah. And here's another related thing. If you have some comics that you are selling and you're putting them up on Kijiji, do some research, get an idea of what they're worth, and list a price. Don't say, I have a box of comics, give me an offer, because it's pointless. It's utterly pointless. You're going to get $5, $10. It's just put a price on it and go from there.
I think what you got there is you got the people that don't know anything about comics and couldn't be bothered. And they're just like, you as the buyer, do all the work. Yeah, give me a call. You can stop by and take a look at my comics in Norwood anytime you want. And you tell me what they're worth because I don't know anything and I want to get as much money as possible.
Yeah, but I'm too lazy there and to look say, it up. No, they're only worth about $20. He's not going to accept it.
Well, unless he doesn't know any better. Or if you're the only guy that has come there in 3 weeks and you said $20, he'll be like, okay, here you go. You know, but if he's had offers of $50 or $100 or $200 from somebody else, he's going to tell you to pound salt. But, I mean, that's the premise he's working on. I have no idea what these are worth. Now, don't get me wrong. I find it as annoying as you do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not making a list of what's here, so don't bother contacting me. Come and look at them or don't even bother. Okay, bye.
That sounds inviting.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go to Norwood, no offense to Norwood, to your back hills house somewhere in the boondocks, and you got 14 Doberman pinschers and pugs and killer dogs, and you want
those
to show
pugs
me
are killers.
You want to show me your Camaro while you're showing me your comic books, and then you show me this dead, destroyed stack of 1990 Spider-Man and go, here, my buddy at work said these are worth $300.
Yeah.
No, they're not. And not please even put money pants bought, on no. your kid because this is really creepy.
All right. So, Marty, did you have anything quickly that you wanted to talk about comic-wise? Did you buy anything, read anything good?
Sorry,
Do you need a nap?
I'm just wishing I had Robax acting up, and I'm looking so forward to driving to Burlington tomorrow.
Maybe Sam can give you a back massage the whole way
out. Oh, God, don't even. Don't even. No, not really. I mean, I'm like I said, it's the year of austerity for me, so I'm behaving and not going a little bit too crazy. And you know, a 9.8 Captain Canuck number 9 is coming shortly. That was austere. That didn't mm-hmm. cost much.
Did that? Yeah, and that happened after the year of austerity started. Now, I will say,
we did that in January, didn't we?
Yeah, I said it happened after.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say that I do know how much you paid for it, and it's actually less than most sellers are asking for a 9.8 of a Captain Canuck.
How do you know how much I paid for it?
You told me.
Oh, okay.
How else would I know?
Yeah. But don't forget the exchange rate's in the toilet, so it actually cost me $46 more.
Yes. Well, I know with the exchange rate, but going off of the American price, because if you're looking at eBay and stuff, it's all American price, and you know, there's a few comic books out there that I'm looking at in the same price range. And so you didn't, it's not like you got hosed on it.
Well, and plus I managed to move my 9.0 number
to some chump.
Some very nice fellow who gave it a nice, comfortable home, who adopted it from a shelter, and you know, we'll treat it nicely and respectfully. And
you can find it in my house on my shelf.
There you go. So, other than that, we did a little road trip to Whitby to pick up some supplies and stuff at CBA, and then on the way back hit a few antique stores and found a few treasures here and there. Nothing huge or massive.
But no Whitman variants.
Not
but
really. No. It was fun. I found a few of those new Wonder Womans. I don't know why, but I seem to be collecting some weird books. Like, I never really set out to get Amazing Spider-Man, and I've got all these Amazing Spider-Man keys all of a sudden. I wasn't expecting to get these 1960s Wonder Womans, and all of a sudden I've got like 6 of them, and it's weird what's ending up in the collection. I think what I might have to do is do a really big purge, so we might have to invite some folks over to the house and say, you know, hey, because I was doing some math, and I have 10,000 comic books, roughly, and I have filing cabinets for 6,000. So there's literally 4,000 comic books just littered all over the place in boxes everywhere, and my wife is going to kill me soon. So I really have to clean up a little bit. So
have a Sam-style purge.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just, it's good to clean up once in a while. It's like Chris said, you know, your collection is X big, and but are you really happy with what's in it, or do you want to get rid of some of it and move on to something else, right?
Well, if it's 90s comic books, then yes, but nobody wants to buy those.
I kind of got rid of most of that in that big
first purge.
That first purge, it was 10 long boxes in 2005, and that was a lot of 90s stuff. Now, granted, that included New Mutants 98, New Mutants 87.
Amazing Spider-Man 300.
Amazing Spider-Man 300 and Amazing Spider-Man
298.
And 299.
Yeah.
299.
Yep.
Every single, like, first Bishop, first Jubilee, first, first Rogue was in there, which I ended up finding another copy of. I actually got that Avengers
Annual 10.
And that guy didn't know what he had either because I paid pennies for it. So. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where I kind of looked back and the reason for the austerity is just there's just such a huge volume of crap in my basement, and I'm not enjoying it as much. So a lot of my vintage toys and stuff, I've decided to box some of them up and get rid of those, because it was just one of those things where this new Mego style action figure is coming out, and oh, it's gonna be awesome, and I gotta get them, and I'm gonna put them in my little bachelor pad that I got, little diorama, and it's like, oh, there's 32 dolls in that damn bachelor pad now. There's no room for them.
Sausage fest. You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, no.
It's a Will Wheaton song.
There's 3 girls in there. There's a Fembot, and Mrs. Brady's there, and I think what's it, Peg Bundy's there, but Evel Knievel's there. So I just, you know, clean up a little bit and change things up. My youngest daughter and I, we just kind of started playing with some of the Star Wars figures I've collected recently, and we're putting those up. I found this amazing three-step, kind of like a pepper spice racky thing at crappy tire for $10. Sorry, at Canadian Tire for $10. It fits perfectly in my DTOF and has three layers and it's white. It's fantastic. I'm gonna go back and get a bunch more. So I got like the first 12 figures at the top, the next whatever it was up to 21 on the next row. So we're gonna make like a Star Wars Empire Return of the Jedi shelf and put some of the figures up. And so that was kind of fun.
How do you get them to stand up?
I have little Star Wars action figure bases.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
All right.
Go.
Okay.
So what about me? What did I read this week?
I don't know. What did you read this week?
I only read one comic book this week.
I think I know which one you read.
Which one is that?
I think you read Auric number one.
That's correct.
And why did you read Auric number one? I don't think that's out yet.
No, Auric number one isn't out yet, but...
It's because the amazing folks, the fine, great guys, Davis and Andrew... sent us a review copy of Auric number one.
It's our first perk.
There you go. And it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. What did everybody think? Did you read it, Chris?
I did. Yeah.
There you go. So?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I liked it. I thought I really loved the like the art on the first four pages, like when it's black and white and it's sort of retelling this origin story of Auric. You know, I thought that art or jeepers, Auric is messing with my mind here. That art was just like gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a fun story. It's definitely the first issue. You know, they're setting up a lot of stuff.
Well, it's just like everything else. I mean, it's fun. It's goofbally and you know, like you said, nicely there's a lot Canadian. Of setup. So there's introducing the little sort of support team for Auric as he becomes a superhero and stuff and kind of setting up the status quo. So don't expect a, you know, rip roaring cliffhangering adventure. I mean, we got to tell you who these guys are before we get into it. But it was great first issue, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can't get into details and specifics.
No, we don't want to.
No, we're not going to spoil anything for anybody.
There was the one scene that I just laughed out loud. But anyways,
I know really which one you're talking about, and we can enjoy that all in our own minds.
Yeah. There you go.
And I'm sure that the if Davis and Andrew are listening, they know which scene we're talking about.
Now,
too.
Andrew was saying that there's a possibility that some of the Auric Kickstarter perks will be available for us at Gotham at the birthday party.
That's cool.
So if they're available, he's going to bring them to hand deliver it to us, which is kind of cool.
And also he gave me an update just on the status of Auric in that they think that the copies will be available the last week of January. And they're hoping to have them to start on sale at Gotham Central on the 30th of January.
Yeah, which is the birthday party.
Which will be really cool. And then they're going to have an official launch party the weekend after.
Yeah.
And then hopefully the digital copies will go out to the backers sometime over the next couple of days.
Perfect.
So then we can just talk about it next time and tell about the funny parts.
Yeah, exactly. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun book. I mean, you know, it's just, again, there's just something about Canadian comic books right now. There's just this, you take a look at the Pitiful Human Lizard, you look at the Captain Canuck, the modern one that's coming out, you look at the True Patriot anthology that came out. It's just, there's just this sense of fun. And I'm struggling for a better word than fun, but I can't find one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, we're just going to have a good time creating comic books. We hope you have just as much of a good time reading them. And that's what these are. They're just fun books to read, and you end up reading them, and you're like, oh, that was great.
And that's why I've decided that I'm going to drop almost all of my Marvel and DC comics and just pick up Canadian comics and maybe Daredevil.
I do feel a little bit ashamed in that I picked up that Spirit Leaves from Chapter House, and I haven't read it yet.
Well,
it's sitting on my to-read pile, which is massive right now.
The weather's been bad enough that I haven't made it to the comic book store for a couple weeks, so I'm behind.
There you go.
So
I did grab two copies, so if you can't find a copy, I got one for you.
Cool.
But I'm sure there'll be some
at the birthday party.
They're having an actual launch at the Silver Snail, and because I can't make it, I totally mentally brain farted and forgot what day that is, but there is going to be an actual launch party for Spirit Leaves at Silver Snail. If it wasn't already today, possibly. I don't know.
Next week, maybe.
Can't remember. So, yeah, I feel bad that I haven't had a chance to read that one yet, but that's another great Canadian, looks like a great Canadian book from Chapter House.
And, it looks good. The now, let's I'm going to tell you guys something that's going to be terrible for my wife, because you know the Captain Canuck web series, right?
Yes.
The Fool's Gold, right? Well, I watched it last night for the first time, and she watched it too, and she actually enjoyed it. And she didn't want to enjoy it, but it was a lot of fun. Saw Marty's name in there. Marty was one of the backers, I guess, when they were crowdsourcing that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think they might strike my name off of any future copies that are printed, because I can't remember whether Series 2 has come out yet or not.
It hasn't yet, as far as I know.
It was supposed to be in the fall, right?
Yes. The Chapter House website sometimes doesn't seem quite up to date.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the actual release dates and stuff. I haven't seen anything.
Well, they have a trailer. That's out. I know that. And I haven't looked at that either yet. Oh my gosh. I'm just
worst Captain Canuck
worst
fan.
Worst Captain Canuck
who
ever.
Has the biggest CGC collection in the world.
Worst fan ever. I'll get to it eventually, I'm sure. But yeah, I just can't.
I know they're putting out the variant, the photo variant covers for some of the issues, right? With the actors who play the characters.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure, because like for the first six issues, it was a cover A and a cover B, 50-50, and then they had a 1 in 10 variant. And I'm not sure whether this is going to be like just a cover A and a 1 in 10 variant,
yeah,
or are they going to be 50-50? Because I haven't seen a third cover showcased for any of those. So I think for the next few issues, they're going to cut back on some of the variants, which makes sense. I mean, you know, the initial hype is over, and let's...
And there was a lot of variants for number one.
Well, less than Star Wars.
Well, obviously.
Don't start with that one.
I mean, the issue one, if I'm not mistaken, they had the 50-50, so you had two there. They had the 1 in 10, they had the blank cover, and then some of the stores had some exclusives.
Yeah.
So there was an exclusive Big B one, an exclusive Silver Snail, an exclusive Gotham Central.
Like, I think there was...
the EH variant.
There was... How many letters is it to get to H? Because I think I've seen up to, like, one H listed online.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's that math's beyond me, but
eight apparently.
Eight, so probably eight variants, which is quite a few for.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's cool.
But see, in that case, like those store exclusive variants, those are fun. I think like that's I think that's a little bit different than going variant crazy and not allowing a vendor to say, okay, well, we want 2,000 copies of a cover with our featured artist on it, or our guy on it, or our billboard on it. And I think that's a fun variant, especially for customers of that store. Like if you know, Dixon's Downtown, you know, got a variant cover like that, I'd love to have it. You know, because that's my homegrown store, right?
Yeah, a little perk or a little, like, cool, like,
Comic
hey.
Book Addiction got one. I'd definitely want one of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a little bit more fun, because somebody in California doesn't care. You know, if Midtown gets a special exclusive cover, majority of the people in California couldn't care. People in Texas, not interested. But if Lone Star Comics gets a cover, then, you know, everybody that shops at Lone Star is like, this is awesome, I love this. So, you know, that's not too bad. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they need, I definitely don't need to be purchasing nine copies of every single issue of Captain Canuck. So I'm not, Captain Austerity here is not upset that they're cutting back on some of the covers.
That's a Canadian superhero, Captain Austerity. Dun, dun, he runs around stopping you from making frivolous purchases.
There you
that's
go.
Right.
Hey, you there, stop that.
There you go.
I hope he's around tomorrow.
Tomorrow is all about selling, man.
Let's hope so.
Thing that I could possibly think of purchasing is I'm still missing a carded Dr. Bones. McCoy, Dr. McCoy, Star Trek figure. I'm missing one of those from my collection. On card, mint card, perfect card.
Yeah.
So if there's one that's beat up and mangled a little bit, I don't want it. But it's the only thing I can think of that might tempt me. But other than that, no, it's just sell.
So will Marty find his perfect mint carded Bones action figure tomorrow? Tune in next time to find out.
Same Trek channel, same Trek station.
Is that, I guess we'll just end it with that.
Okay.
Tune in next week for another fun-filled hour.
Say goodnight, Dan.
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Chris.
Goodnight.